We're still here. Things still went on. I know we've heard a lot in 2020 in what's coming. And here we are in 2021. But I know what's coming is good. And I know it's not controlled by anybody that can control it. But we, the church, are planting those seeds to bring it forth. And His timetable, we may not have believed if we'd have seen it all. But it's going to be good when it happens. And trust me, we do our part. We listen to the prophetic. We listen. We get encouraged. But the point is, we still have to trust the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Pastor Mike put it this way, the last ministry teaching he did. He says, we should not just be those that read the Word. But we have to be those, as 2 Timothy 2:15 says, to study it, to meditate on it, to speak it day and night. So it goes from here to hear. So today, I'm going to challenge you in an area that I believe can be the most powerful message after you got saved, which I'm trusting most all of you are, that you will ever hear. But you've got to take it from here, and you've got to get it to here if you want to get the fruit of what I'm going to share today. And I believe there are going to be many that I'm going to clear up things, and I think there's going to be many even on Facebook that's going to need to share it with others. If you want to encourage brothers and sisters in the Lord to go to that next level, to not just be hearers of the Word, but to be doers of it. Amen? So I'm just going to encourage you right now. Now, some of you get a little flyer, and it's always nerve-wracking. We give people heads up. And you can see the title that I shared was Why Tongues. Everybody say tongues.
Tongues.
Tongues is not a dirty word.
Right.
Tongues in Christian circles is a scary word. But you got to realize, you got to understand what it means and what it's all about. Now, I'm going to start by having you go to the foundational scriptures that I shared by myself for 2 weeks while you were all picking it up on Facebook. And it was a lonely time, other than I knew that you were with me. And I want you to look to the book of St. Mark. Mark chapter 16. And I want you to see something with me, if you would, as I lay this foundation this morning. And the Bible says this, as I look at, beginning at verse 16. Mark 16, verse 16. Jesus is setting the stage to check out, to go to the cross, or to go to be with His Father at the right hand to send us this Holy Spirit. And this is what He says, and mine's in red. Yours may not be, that just means Jesus speaking. Believers who believe and are baptized, and we're talking about into the body of Christ, will be saved. And those that don't believe will not be saved. It says, believers are going to cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues. They can take up serpents and scorpions and powers of the enemy, and it will not harm them. They can drink any deadly thing. It will not harm them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and believers are going to lay hands upon the sick, and they're going to what?
Recover.
And he goes on by finishing this in verse 20. So the believers went out, and they shared everywhere. It did not say the pastors went out, the evangelists went out. Believers went out from their gathering. They went out, and the Lord worked with them, and He confirmed that He was with them with accompanying signs. Now look at me. You can have a bag of truth, a bag of words, but if you're never taking those seeds and planting them, how do you expect to have the fruit from them? Everything reproduces after its own kind. And we are the sowers, and the Bible tells us that we're to sow the Word. So, I'm going to focus on why it's important that every believer exercise tongues and use that which you do not learn on your own. I looked up the word in Strong's Greek word of New Testament words, and the word for tongues used 27 times in the New Testament, not the Old, the New Testament, says this. It's a language not naturally acquired. So I thought, I want another source. So I got to my Vines expository of New Testament terms. What are you saying these 27 times when the Bible is referring to tongues? And this is what Vines says. It's a supernatural gift of speaking in another language that you did not learn. Now, if this is what tongues is, and if tongues is something that you don't learn, can you learn it? No, it's a gift that the Holy Ghost. Why would Jesus in his last words tell us this? Now, you that haven't been here, but you've been implementing, I've been hearing a lot of you have been laying hands on yourself, and some of you can attest, and you got healed, right? And I heard many of you were casting out demonic forces around you, and they were leaving. Well, that's great because that's all part of things that follow believers. If you don't believe me, you research it yourself, but I'm going to tell you this is only for you that believe. And when it says those believers that believe will speak in new tongues and they will speak in sos or glossa, which means it's a language that's not learned, why is that so important? And so I thought, well, I look back to my wife and I. My wife was raised a very devout Catholic young lady with two very devout Christian parents that love God. She went through K through 8 Catholic school. She learned about Jesus. She studied the Bible and turned out pretty good. One block away from where she grew up in her church, I went to a Protestant church. It was called Disciples of Christ, First Christian. We carried our Bibles with a godly mom and dad that required, both of us were required to be in church. It wasn't an option. And the reason why is because they knew how valuable it was to raise up your children in the way they should go. So as they get older, they'll not depart. We understand that. Train your children in the way they go, and great shall be the peace of your household. What we're not seeing is a lot of peace in household because we've got to get back to the seeds that we all got in our package and doing what the Bible says we need to do. My wife and I met when I was a senior. She was a junior. We never really knew each other, and we went to church faithfully every Sunday. She went to every holiday. They had some kind of service. And when I started to go with Kathy, I went to her midnight mass and all this. And I didn't understand what was going on, but it wasn't important because I wasn't after religion. I was after her. And I don't think she was after my religious upbringing. She was after me. And so it really didn't matter. I mean, I was meeting with a priest. Yeah, I'll meet with a priest. I don't care who marries us. Now, I need to tell you something. I believed in the Lord Jesus growing up. I believed him as my Lord and Savior. As I read of the things that my wife would use, and she was the organist for her Christian school. She'd go up in a big organ they had in the church, and she would do songs in them. She believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when someone says, Pastor, when did you get saved? I think I was always saved. I don't know. I always believed that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. I think that's what the Bible means in Proverbs 22:6, where it says, train your children up, and when they get old, they'll not depart. I share all that so you realize we did not grow up in dysfunctional families. Now, thank God my parents never taught me that Catholics were evil and they were bad. And I, knowing her mom and dad, they didn't teach her that Protestants were all bad. So we were able to get with one another. And in our early years of marriage, we would bounce from a Catholic church to a Protestant church because we knew that was the right thing to do because we were raised. But at 24 and 25, we had an experience that would change our life forever. we begin to struggle a little bit in our relationship. And my wife says, if this God thing, if we want it real, then we've got to find something spiritual. And we went to this church in Saginaw, because we were living in Hemlock at the time. And in this church, it was approximately 600 people raising their hands. Tongues came forth and all the things. And I bumped her halfway, and you've heard the story. I said, we're the only two normal people here. And I believed it. All the way back to Hemlock where we lived, halfway there, we stayed quiet. Oh, my gosh. Finally, I said to my wife, if what they got is real, that's how I want to be. So, I mean, they weren't like how we are when I say they weren't dancing and twirling. They were raising their hands and thanking Jesus. They were praying in their prayer language and singing. I didn't understand that. Again, I was so grateful. I was not raised in a family that taught me that that was evil to speak in tongues. I was grateful that my wife wasn't taught. In fact, in reality, we weren't taught anything when it came to the gifts of the Spirit of the tongues. We definitely weren't laying hands on sick people, and we definitely weren't binding the devil because we didn't understand we could do that. But when we got hit and we received what we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost, remember when John the Baptist says, I come to baptize you for repentance, receiving Jesus as your Lord? He who is greater than I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what we needed in our relationship. So I remember how many times I went to the altar because I wanted. Now remember, they say when you have a tongue that comes out in a service, it's not for believers. It's for unbelievers on the point of believing. As crazy as that sounded to us, we thought on that all the way home. What was that? We could not explain it. But something in here went from here to here. And this is real. Now thank God I didn't grow up being taught it's of the devil and it was done away with when the apostolic age ended. Thank Jesus. I didn't have to undo that religious dimension of it. I remember we're on a vacation and my wife says, I think I got it. I says, I want to hear it. And she shared it and she went off in her prayer. I said, you do have it, honey. She says, gosh, I feel like I'm almost making it up. I said, no, you got it. You got it. And I went to every altar call they had. I wanted this same experience. I didn't understand it. I hadn't got in and researched that much. But I knew it was real. And everybody I knew that exercised in that weren't just nominal Christians. They were excited. They were full of effervescence, excitement. I'm telling you, when people are drawn in here, it's not just because we have a nice service. There's something that stirs people to realize, man, there's something more than just getting a teaching or something more than just singing some songs. I'm telling you. So, finally, I'm at the altar, and this brother, good intention, brother, and the Lord says, hey, and he didn't call me man of God. He says, well, then, I'm going to stay here all night until you get it. And I thought to myself, I don't want to be here all night. Just get over it. Can't you just push a button, pull a chain, and I got it? And I'd heard the stories. Man, I got it. I got knocked over three chairs and came up with my prayer language. I was waiting for the experience until I got into the scriptures and I saw what it said. They spoke and the Spirit gave meaning to it. And no one understands it. It's not for the head. It's for the heart. And so in my bedroom by myself with no pressures around, I took the leap of faith. And I says, I don't understand it, Lord, but I trust you because I see those that are exercising it. It's good. And I stepped out and I began to pray. And it was just, oh, my gosh. Now, let me just tell you. I can tell you what a lot of things, but let me tell you what's caused fruit in my life. Outside of receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, nothing in my life, and I bet you my wife would say the same thing, has been as powerful as our prayer language. And it wasn't at all for the head. It had everything to do with the Spirit. And for those of you who know us, you know we have prayer every day here for an hour, 12 to 1. Way before anybody said pastoring, evangelist, prophet, or whatever, she knew every day I went outside and I talked to my God and I prayed to him. And I'm going to tell you, I ran out of things to say in the English.
Right.
So most of my time was in my prayer language or tongues, a language I did not learn. And what it did was it just stirred me up and it kept me on fire. And I thought to myself, everywhere we went, when people wanted the fire that was on, we were with this particular denomination. He says, my gosh, you got the power that we're believing for. It's because there's something about when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it does build up your most holy faith. And so, church, and those that are listening, we are a charismatic. That's just a name that's given to people that are effervescent. They're really, we're also full gospel. Full gospel are those that believe that the gifts did not disappear when the last apostle died.
Right.
We believe in the full gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I started with Mark 16. We believe in that. We believe we're spirit-filled. I believe all Christians get the Spirit, but I believe there's a difference between baptized in the Holy Spirit with the fire. I believe Jesus, as we ask Him, does another dimension of it, and it changes us.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if I did not give you the truth of what keeps us strong and on fire and in love with one another and each, I would be disservice to you. And we're also called a Pentecostal church. And some people, oh no, we're going to have to wear buns and long dresses. Not Pentecostal. No. Pentecostal to me, to true light of it, are those that believe what happened in the upper room is not once and done. It's an ongoing experience that the Lord has released upon the church. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to just be honest with you. People that do not pray in tongues don't pray long. People that don't pray in tongues, normally when you're around a while, they're all of a sudden silent. They're no longer, well, maybe they're praying to themselves. I'm not saying. But those that have received that language that they did not learn because they stepped out know how to pray. Even when we don't know most of the stuff we're praying for. Well, how can, I've heard someone says, well, you know, the devil can understand it if you pray in tongues. No, the devil understands it. It says no man understands it. He's a spirit and he understands it and he does not like the church praying in their prayer language.
Right.
Do you want to know what steps on toes more than anybody? I'm just going to be real with you. In all the 30 years we've been a church. If I talk about your kids, you get mad. If I talk about giving, you get mad. If I talk about being radical praisers, people get mad. Well, I just real quiet. You know, I'm laid back. Well, and you can be. But when I got hit with the Holy Ghost, there's no laid back anymore.
I'm
no.
So excited.
No, they're
That's good, Pastor. Yeah.
I'm just getting real with you, folks. And what steps on toes and what people, oh my gosh, I don't believe tongues are going, oh my gosh, pastor's talking on tongues. I'm going to tell each and every one of you, know right now they're listening in. And we've added a lot of people here, and you need to realize the power that we get is the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost lives inside us, but we activate that seed by praying in our unknown, trained up language. And the reason why I share all that, because I want you to follow me. There is nobody in the Word of God that was used by the Holy Ghost more than the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul, before Paul, was Saul, and he was very religious. Amen? And if he was very religious, he didn't like anybody outside the line, so he was used to try to put them out of what he thought was their misery. So he got this decree to go and put enslave and murder and so forth. Wouldn't you say, when this guy got a conversion and change, he's worth looking and studying. Why all of a sudden does this man of God flow and more times than not tells us to pray in tongues? If it isn't valuable. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul laying the foundation. And I'm hoping by the power of the Holy Ghost, you're going to get the revelation. If you've been holding back or waiting to get knocked over six people and come up in your prayer language, you can wait probably till the rapture. And you know what? Let me clear something up right now. If you are praying in your prayer language, does not make you a better person, more loved person. It just makes you more effective in the tools that freely have been given. When we come together in a church service, it says we all have a tongues. We all have a glossa, a language that we did not learn. Well, why doesn't everybody do it? It's because most have never been taught. Now, be honest with me. How many were raised in a church that you were taught about the gifts of the Spirit? Okay, we got a couple, three. And you were raised in a Pentecostal church. Yeah, and Randy used to go here. So, do you see that? How many of you now have your prayer language? Amazing. How can that happen? I thought it was done away with the last disciples or the last apostles. Because it's a real force. And what's happened? The church has got nervous. Oh my gosh, you'll think I'm too radical. People come, and if they got relatives here, all of a sudden their praise subsides. I don't want to turn anybody off. And I'm thinking, there's a freedom that you have when you get truly free that is not dictated by others. It's got everything to do with the man we love with our heart, soul, and body called Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is in us. And he puts us in remembrance to what he said. But let me go. First Corinthians chapter 1. This is what Paul says. And he says, as he's reiterating what Jesus, I'm down to verse 19. I'm going to destroy the wisdom of the wise. And I'm going to bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And he goes on. Now remember, the first early disciples were the unlearned. Paul was not unlearned. He was religious. Paul now is bringing the revelation. He says, for since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom, did not know God, it pleased God through foolishness, everybody say foolishness, of the message preached to save those who believe. Jump down to 26. For you see, your calling, and he was talking to the believers, not many of you wise according to your flesh, not many mighty according to your strength. God chooses the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base or the insufficient things of the world, he's chosen. So I'm sharing that because you need to understand, Paul is getting ready to teach people in an area that they didn't learn themselves. And so he's laying the foundation, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look with me. Verse 18 says, now some of you are puffed up as though I'm not coming to see you. But I'm going to come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I am going to know, now listen, I'm going to know the word of those who are, it says the word of those who are puffed up. I'm not going to know the, I am going to come not knowing the ones of the word is puffed up, but by the power. In other words, you can be very knowledgeable in the word, but if you got no power, Paul says, I'm not even going to know you. I'm looking for the signs that follow believers. They're going to be laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, and speaking in a language that did not learn themselves. That sounds pretty awesome. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, loves, or whatever? Turn to me, 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 1 says, Paul, again, is saying, I'm telling you, pursue love, desire spiritual giftings, especially that you prophesy. Verse 2, please, this is Paul. Would you say Paul was kind of bad before he got converted? Wouldn't you say then what he shares is going to be pretty important for us that came out of the ghettos or whatever walk, even if we came out of religious? Paul came out of religious, and this is what he says, verse 2. He who speaks in glossa, a language, a supernatural language that you did not learn, does not speak to men, but they speak to who?
God.
God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he's speaking mysteries. So the language that you don't learn, when you yield to that, you're speaking to God, not man. Verse 4, He who speaks in a glossa, a language not naturally acquired, builds themselves up. Now, everybody look at me. Do you think in this time and era in which we are, do you think it's important for believers to be built up? Now, if you're a believer, it says when you speak in your language that you did not learn yourself, you build yourself up. If anybody needs to be built up, it's the body of Christ. We're prophesying to come out of your closets. We're prophesying dry bones arise. But you have the tools that if you don't implement, doesn't the Bible says in Proverbs 18 or 20, is it 2018, 18, 20? I wrote it down. Let me see. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of what?
The tongue.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. I'm telling you, this tongue is powerful. We know James 3 says we can move mountains and so forth. Do you know the resistance? If you come out of a resistance, if you came out of a denomination that taught you against tongues, you have a hard time breaking out of that. Because you're taught that you got to figure it out with your head. And yet we just see here, he who speaks in tongues doesn't speak to men. If you're waiting to figure it out, you'll be like me that went to every altar call. I want that power. I want that. But I want to get knocked over 16 people and come up with that language. It didn't happen that way. And I believe the reason why I've been able to help people to exercise that is because it didn't happen that way. Because we don't pattern our life after somebody's experience. We pattern it after the example that they're living before us. I'm telling you, my wife, way back then, whether she was at Dow or whether I was in the high school at the time teaching, kids were drawn, people were drawn, they wanted what we had. I remember when the kids said, Mr. Townsend, this was high school, and I was teaching business class. He says, something's different about you. Now, I didn't smoke or drink. It wasn't that all of a sudden I got real straightened up. No. The difference is they saw this glow about me. He says, some of them that knew says, you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, didn't you? I says, how do you know that? Because you've changed. I mean, there's a love oozing from you. My wife, everywhere she went, they wanted to do a Bible study at the Dow Medical. They just wanted to be. So we open up. Let's have a Bible study at our house. We live way out in the boonies. We filled the living room up. People were getting healed, set free. And nobody was a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher or a prophet or apostle. We were just believers. And they were coming, inviting their friends. We moved to the bottom. Over 100 people coming. Our driveway, if you've ever been out there, was packed with people. They weren't coming because we were such great teachers. They were coming because they wanted to touch and experience the power that they read about in the Gospels, where Jesus says these signs will follow believers. They wanted to see, and they came. We had elderly people, and we had young people getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in their prayer language, getting healed. What I'm saying is, church, this happened back in 75, 76. We're still on fire. We haven't lost that fire because we don't stop. I pray in the Holy Ghost all the time, coming to and fro work. I'm praying in a language I don't understand, but I know things are happening. When I go pray with the pastors, I don't try to flaunt and blast them with my prayer language. It's not for men. So I pull it in. When I'm in certain, I used to go to, before I was pastoring here, I used to get invited. They wanted me to preach in their churches. This is what I'd be warned, because they knew us. We want you to preach, but don't talk about that Holy Ghost stuff. And I said, well, I can do that. See, the fire of God is on you, whether or not you go to the, you still got the Holy Ghost, and you still got the dimension. It's nothing that I run from. I am great. That's why I tell, not everybody can hook up here. Because I'm telling you, you can't understand everything that's going on, but your heart either bears witness, this is good, or it's not. I'm not naive to think, everybody, come here, we got the greatest thing. To me, we got the greatest thing. If you're an American, you should think you got the greatest country. But I hope everybody thinks their country is the greatest. I hope everybody thinks their church is the greatest. But those that call this home, that have been planted, there's something that tells you, this is what I like. And what you like isn't because we can really teach the Bible. It's because the power of God shows up and you don't know where we're going. But He knows. That's why we encourage get connected someplace where you can grow and where they love you. So this hour prayer every day, I prayed back when I was 25 years young and my wife was 24. It hasn't stopped. We went to a church. They said, I want you to be the associate. We got people up praising. And people were upset at us. They looked at us like this, and you've heard me say it. And my wife was playing the piano, facing the wall. And she looked at me and says, honey, you got to look at me. You got to look out there at the people. No, you don't want to look out at what I'm looking at. They were like this, make me praise the Lord. Make me get up. And I'm thinking, wow. So what do? Once a week, we would call believers to come to prayer. We'd put on worship music. This was way back before. We're 30 years young here at Shield of Faith. And we would put it on, we would pray, and we would worship God, and it was exciting. And nowhere in it, I think, let's make ourselves a denomination. No, we're just part of the body of Christ, but there's something that people got to see and know. They got to realize when they get saved, they get the same Holy Ghost I got. I'm tired of people thinking they jump through the hoops, and then they're powerful at the top. No, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, you're powerful at the top. And you got the same things if you believe. You can bind the devil off your family, off your friends. You can lay hands on anyone that's sick that lets you and expect. Someone says, well, everybody you lay hands on, do they get healed? Heck no. But everybody that's got healed, I laid hands on. Just because
I did that for a while, but I didn't see any fruit.
I'm telling you what, don't go short. Keep it up. He's not going to tell us to signs follow believers and then give us something that doesn't work. So Paul says, he who speaks in a tongue builds himself up. I'm telling you, church, you all need to be built up. And you aren't always in a church service. And you aren't always around others. My wife knows, we'll catch each other. I'm out whatever, cutting wood or whatever. I'm praying and singing in the Spirit. But I'm tracking you to Paul. Stay with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Looking with me, if you would, to verse 12. Paul says this to Christians. Since you're zealous for spiritual gifts, do it to build up the church and seek to excel. Stay with me. Now they're confused. They got a language they don't understand. And he says this. It says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue also pray to interpret. And this is what it says. If I pray in a glossa, a language I did not learn, my spirit prays. What's the real you? The spirit. My understanding is on what? Oh, I see. So if I read the word and I understand it, it's for my mind. But if I pray in my prayer language, it's for the Spirit. Good. What is the conclusion, Paul says? I will pray with the language that I did not learn. Yours says Spirit, same thing. And I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with the language that I did not learn. And I will sing with the understanding. Verse 18 says, here's Paul. He says, I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. If it wasn't important, why is he bragging that he speaks in tongues more than you all? And he's trying to teach them to start speaking in tongues. Because he knew the value of building up the body of Christ. And the body of Christ needed a supernatural weapon that they can't think through, but could be in their heart. Look with me, if you would, at verse 26. I spoke that earlier. My caption has an order in church meetings. How is it then, believers, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm or worship, each of you can have a teaching, each of you has a tongue. Now, this same tongue is the same glossa. You have a language that you did not learn naturally.
You all got it.
Well, I've never spoken. It's because you've not understood. You've got a part to play in it. You've heard me share this before. I used to get invited to go to Full Gospel businessmen. They'd want me to share my testimony. They'd have business people. I was a teacher. I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't anything. All I did was go and share and pray for people that then they got healed. And we prayed about people getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and they got filled. And I remember how many times people would come to the altar, and they would want to get their prayer language, but not know that they're not going to get knocked over 16 seats and come praying in tongues. And I remember the one time, and we were at the Swan Valley banquet thing there, and we had a mass crowd, I don't know, over 100 people there, and I gave an altar call, if you want your prayer language, come. And I remember it was filled with people. And I remember going through, and some just automatically yielded to it, but there were those that didn't. And I said this to those that remained. You're waiting to try to figure it out here. I am going to help you prime your pump. I am going to start praying slowly in my prayer language and ask you to imitate me. And then we did, and they all got filled with the Holy Ghost, had their own language, because I always go back and say, let me hear yours. I got hit up by a pastor that was in that meeting. He cornered me at school because I was teaching. He says, I just can't believe you did that. And he was very much a soul winner. This person would let a lot of people Lord. I said, you don't. I said, you came out of a denomination and you got hit with the Holy Ghost. Do you know all the answers? And he says, oh, no, no. Let me ask you this. When you lead someone to the Lord, because he led a lot of people Lord, how do you lead them? He says, I just tell them to pray after me. And then he caught himself. See, the meaning has to do with the Holy Ghost, but you say, pray at me, dear Lord Jesus, dear Lord Jesus. Yeah. I know I'm a sinner. You don't put the meaning, that's in them, but you prime the pump to do what they can do, and that's the same way with the Holy Ghost. Some people are going to need to be prodded, and they're going to need to be in their prayer chamber and step out. Amen. And trust.
Whoa, what happens if it's the devil?
A house divided can't stand. Trust me, the devil is not going to encourage you to pray in tongues any more than he's going to encourage you to love one another.
That's right.
Or he's going to encourage you to come to church during a pandemic. The devil's come to steal, kill, and to destroy. Paul is saying, this is something you need. And then he goes on and says this in verse 39. I love this. People that want to fight Paul. Therefore, believers, desire to prophesy, but do not forbid anyone from speaking in glossa, the language that they did not learn. If Paul said it was important, I think it's important. And why there's an attack, we're not out trying to be more spiritual than anybody. We're trying to build up families and make them stronger and have the tools. And all of you that listen and said, yes, Pastor, I did lay hands on myself and I did get healed and I did cast out devils. I'm telling you, this is a tool that you can implement wherever you're at. It doesn't build me up. It builds you up.
Yep.
But if you never do it, you can carry the bag of seeds all around and you wonder, why are we still stumbling through? Where is this power? Anybody ever heard something? Oh, I wish we could see signs and wonders like in the Bible days. You can.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is not dead. He's alive in our lives. And he wants us all to grow and to be all that he's called us to be. And I'd be doing you a disservice if I didn't give you the real reason why we're excited every week when we come together, why we can pray every day. Some of you come during the week. We put up things and so forth, but you know, you can have those up and you can pray for a while, but you can't pray for a whole hour. We go to pastor's prayer. We pray for an hour this week, and then we come, we got another hour. It's not work when you're praying in your prayer language because it's building you up and it builds up others. So why tongues? Because Paul says don't forbid people. Why tongues? Because Paul says it will edify and build yourself up. Why tongues? Why would he say he prayed in tongues more than them all? He had a task to help a body of confused, messed up Christians in Corinth that had to be set free. So, if you struggle praying long, or you have trouble praying at all, you need to yield and let the gift, you already got it in you. It's like, oh, I'm just not gifted with that gift. I hate to tell you, God's no respecter of persons. What I got, you can have. Oh, yeah, but, you know, I know the motivational gifts, and I know the gifts of the Spirit, and God sets them in the church. I understand all that. I'm talking about what came with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
All nine of those gifts came. And he doesn't say, well, I'm going to give Pastor Mike three of them. I'll give Jen Roberts two of them. I'm going to give Jason another couple, but, you know, you've been doing better. I'll give you three. The only reason some people operate in it more than others is because they operate and practice. When I train up teams, we go to other countries to pray. I teach them how to be sensitive, and we do this. We're going to pick on, we'll say, Jen Roberts. I want you all to focus on Jen Roberts. What's God telling you about Jen Roberts? And then we'll go around the circle, and everybody will tell what they're hearing on Jen Roberts. Do you know what happens? She says, wow, that's it. Wow, that just, and you know what that does for the person that did that? Feel pretty good. I do hear from God. But because we're waiting for that big sound, waiting for the Red Sea to open and so forth, you are already opened because of what he did on the cross. And it's up to us to begin to operate in what we already have if we really want to see this region set free. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to encourage those that are watching, but I'm going to encourage you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you, but I'm going to tell you that you need to focus on Jesus. I'm going to ask you to yield. If you don't have your prayer language, you need to ask the Holy Ghost and ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of your prayer language. So I'm going to have you pray this after me. I'm only going to prime the pump. Pray for everyone that's listening. Say this, thank you, Jesus, that you're my Lord and you're my Savior. I receive all you have for me. I'm asking you, Jesus, to baptize me in the Holy Ghost and fire. And your Bible says, which is my Bible, says I will do the speaking. So I ask you, Jesus, for my prayer language, that I might pray in a language that I didn't learn. I'm going to yield to it in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask those that have their prayer language to just begin to sing. You can sing, or you can just pray. Don't go into English, go into prayer language, encouraging others. If you've not stepped out, I'm going to encourage you where you're at. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now say this after me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Now let me give you one thing of clarity, because some people get confused. They says, I thought when you pray in your prayer language, you have to have an interpreter. There is a difference between the exercise in a church service when somebody blurts out in tongues. No man understands it. It must have an interpretation. But what we just did was build up our most holy faith by you praying in your prayer language. Big difference. Don't get confused. There's a time, and you'll hear off and on, someone will have a tongues. But we have to have an interpretation so we understand it. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Greet one another. And we'll see you next Sunday. If you got... If you need anything, altars are open always.